Omega Man Radio has been commissioned to invade deep into enemy territory, drive out the hosts of hell, and take back the land. Our mission is to preach Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who is the only name written under heaven by which men might be saved, cast out demons, and pray for the sick that they may be healed in Jesus' name. If this program is a blessing to you and you would like to take part in this harvest of souls, join with us and attack the hosts of hell by donating any amount online at www.omegamanradio.com. You may also donate by sending check or money order to 9030 West Sahara Avenue, Suite 665, Las Vegas, Nevada, 89117. We thank you.
Are you ready?
Ready to take a ride. Grab your coffee
and strap yourself in.
If you listen, you can hear God's plan.
Because the show is about to begin. You're listening to the Omega Man Radio Network.
Everybody, welcome aboard to our Monday, August 1st, 2022 broadcast. Welcome to a new month. Shouts out to Gail and Williams and the Spiritu Monday, Dennis Day, and others out there. We're on Facebook tonight, Twitch. We're out of YouTube, Jill, so we're streaming again on Channel 5. I do have Channel 6 set up, though, as a backup. And where else are we at? MixLR, Blog Talk, welcome aboard. Brother Tom, how you doing tonight, my friend?
I'm doing pretty good.
Great to hear from you. You sound great. You want to open us up in prayer?
Yes. Heavenly Father, in the name of Yahushua HaMashiach, we just come before you. We ask tonight that the words I say and the words we say be your words, and that we minister carefully tonight. You've given me a word, and I need to be able to minister to it correctly, because this is important. And we just thank you for the opportunity to bring these programs on these platforms. This is something that our predecessors would have dreamed for the opportunity of having. And now we have it. And pray that we use it wisely and with good purpose and with good reason. And we just thank you. In Yahushua's name, amen.
Amen. Tom, the mic is yours. Welcome back, brother.
Thank you. I'm going to start, a little bit differently than I usually do, and I hope you'll keep looking for Major Baird. Sometimes it takes a little while. But I was, the other morning I was in prayer, and I just happened to ask the Father why the fraud happened in the 2020 election, and why did he let it go? And, like everyone else, I had theories, but nothing really concrete. But, as I continued in prayer, almost just in a moment, the answer came to me. Sometimes does that. I will just get downloaded with a lot of information, and it'll take me a while to just absorb what I'm getting. But I was brought back to some of the speeches Donald Trump gave when he was president. And as I listened to him, I found myself going to Daniel 4:30. Daniel 4, verse 30. And I was listening to the words of King Nebuchadnezzar. Is not this great Babylon that I have built for the house of the kingdom of by the might of my power and for the honor of my majesty? And suddenly I realized, ooh, this man is extolling himself as if he thinks he is God. He thinks he created all of this. And as I thought more, I looked back at Operation Warp Speed, which was a fruitless effort to create a vaccine for the you-know-what. And this order came without any consent from Congress or any assent from the people. You just issued executive orders declaring a state emergency, and issued further orders authorizing the expenditures of funds, which he's supposed to get permission from the House Ways and Means Committee and from Congress in general. Instead, he created law. He overstepped what he is allowed to do. And sometimes we forget that when we do these things, there are repercussions. Daniel chapter 4, verses 31 and 32. While the word was in the king's mouth, there fell a voice from heaven, saying, O King Nebuchadnezzar, to thee it is spoken, the kingdom is departed from thee, and they shall drive thee from men, and thy dwelling shall be with the beasts of the field, and they shall make thee to eat grass as oxen, and seven times shall pass over thee, until thou know that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men, and giveth it to whosoever he will. That's a shocker. And suddenly I was made to understand the Republicans will never be in the White House again until they understand that they rule by the mercy of our Heavenly Father. And if they don't understand that, they will never be in there again, because they need to repent of their wickedness, their arrogance, and their pride. And the road back is a very simple one. I won't read it all, but in Daniel 4, verses 34 to 37, we have Nebuchadnezzar's own words. When he finally returned, his reason returned to him, and he understood just who ruled, and that he ruled with Yahuwah's authority and Yahuwah's alone. And this is what will happen. But I'm not going to stop with the Republicans, because suddenly there was a second part, and it came from Daniel chapter 5. And I realized it will get worse. It will get a lot worse. Let's go to Daniel 5. We'll start with verses 1 and go through 4. Belshazzar, the king, made a great feast to thousands of his lords and drank wine before the thousand. Belshazzar, whilst he tasted the wine, commanded to bring the golden and silver vessels which his father Nebuchadnezzar had taken out of the temple, which was in Jerusalem, that the king and his princes and his wives and his concubines might drink therein. Then they brought the golden vessels that were taken out of the temple of the house of God, which was at Jerusalem, and the king and his princes and his wives and his concubines drank in them. They drank wine and praised gods of gold and of silver and of brass and of iron and of stone and of wood. And again, what do we have? We have a president who almost perpetually looks like he's been drinking wine and doing it in front of thousands. He's appeared drunken more than once and appears unable to do the duties of his office. And everything they've done since they've gotten into the office has gone wrong. We've seen Afghanistan, and now we're seeing Ukraine. It's gone totally wrong for them. And what's worse, the drunkenness has created a disease that has not only affected the United States, it has crossed the Atlantic Ocean and infected much of Central and Western Europe. We're talking about political diseases, social diseases, economic diseases. And we now have leaders who are also arrogant and drunk with power. And we just saw the president of Bulgaria step down. We named six others last week. Let's add Bulgaria to the list. I didn't think they would be one of them, but they are. But what we don't seem to understand in the United States is that when the diseases of the United States cross over to Europe, it's too strong for them. And suddenly, because they're smaller nations, they're dying right now. And this is something that our Heavenly Father will deal with. Let's go to the next scripture and read on. Daniel 5, verses 5 and 6. In the same hour came forth fingers of a man's hand and wrote over against the candlestick upon the plaster of the wall of the king's palace. And the king saw the part of the hand that wrote. Then the king's countenance was changed, and his thoughts troubled him, so that the joints of his loins were loosened, and his knees smote one against another. And this is fixing to happen to this regime. This is fixing to happen. And they will call in their astrologers, their soothsayers, and their knowers of times to try to read the handwriting that will be on the wall. But these experts can only guess. But if they would read the ancient text as they've been translated and translated many times, they would know. And it's going to be the same thing. Mene, Mene, Tikal, Upharsin. Elohim has numbered thy kingdom and finished it. Thou art weighed in the balances and found wanting. And as Major Baird has prophesied several times with his banyan tree prophecy, the United States will be divided. There will be no federal government per se. And there will be a lot of tribulation in this nation. And this is what will happen. And here we've seen it again and again. This nation in the federal level has made some very evil choices. And because they have made these evil choices, their nations will be taken from them. and wicked men will come in and rule over them. And even the European Union is fixing to be shattered. And when it comes back, that's another program. We've talked about it before. But this is what I saw in this particular time. And it's not good. I wish I didn't have to say this. And I would pray it would be false, but it's not. I'm sorry. And so when we go to updates today, I do want to go through some things. Because, yeah, there's been a lot of news. But the one that's going to be most interesting to me is that KillNet. It's a hacker group. They're anarchist in orientation. They have threatened to, or they're threatening to do a cyber attack against the world's largest weapons manufacturers. And they named Lockheed Martin, which is the number one defense contractor in the world. They're famed for creating the HIMARS multiple launch rocket systems in the 1990s. And they also warn that these companies have been, that they're going to make these companies pay for pumping lethal weapons into Ukraine. And they claim that this time they have a new type of cyber attack. That it will not be a dedicated denial of service attack, or what we call in the business DDoS. They have something new planned. So for the what I did for the PowerPoint tonight is I thought, well, let's see which companies are going to get attacked. And I looked. Top 25 defense contractors. Number one on the list, as they said, Lockheed Martin. Number two on that list, Boeing Aircraft. Now, Boeing's had a lot of problems lately. A couple of their jets have had serious engine problems and wing problems, and the stock has gone down about a third because of that. Next on the list is Raytheon Corporation. All three of these are based in the United States, but they sell their equipment all over the world. Number four on the list is one that'll surprise many people. BAE Systems out of London. They do a lot of radar systems. But as we might remember from history, it was Great Britain that came up with the radar system that could pick out when the Germans were going to attack, and they would have their planes up and ready for them. And that's why they won the Battle of Britain. Well, BAE Systems was the company that came up with the radar system. Number four, Northrop Grumman Corporation. They do a lot of airplanes. General Dynamics. All six of these are huge conglomerates, and they do a lot of different things in the defense world. But then you get to number seven, Airbus Group out of the Netherlands. They're adding a lot of planes, especially a lot of transport planes. Number eight on that list is Thales SA out of France. Number nine, Leonardo SPA out of Italy. And we don't see a Russian company until number 10, Almaz Ashanti I'm not sure. I'm not Russian, so I don't do well with it. But it's a government-owned entity, and they produce much of the armaments that the Russians are using right now. The Russians figured out, and it saved them an incredible amount of money, that if they use their government to control the arms industry, one, they don't have to pay so much for their arms like we do. Their budget was something like $58 billion. Ours is about $800 billion. That's a lot of money. And from what I can see, they seem to be getting more bang for their buck. Next on the list is United Technologies Corporation, which was just recently bought by Raytheon. And that's something I question too. Why are we allowing the number three company to buy the number 11? Is that going to get somebody a little bit too big? We've already done this with our banks. Why are we doing it with our defense contractors? Number 12 on the list, L3 Harris Technologies. And that is, they do, again, a lot of radar work. And then what's interesting is after you start getting the big ones out, we have another company at number 14, a Russian company that does all their aircraft. At number 15, we have another company that does all their shipbuilding. And did you know this one, Shannon? Rolls-Royce at number 17 is now owned by BMW. They got into some financial trouble a few years ago, and the Germans had to bail them out.
Wow. And they're an established, not only motor car company, but of course they make a lot of the engines for
aircraft.
Aircraft. So the Germans bought them out, huh?
Yes.
Amazing.
I was stunned at that. I'd heard that they were working on buying it, but you know, suddenly I had health issues, and so I was out of the news for a while. And while I was out of the news, this happened.
So many consolidations, like with the savings and loan scandals and the banking collapse of 2008. A lot of ownership change hands or merged or closed. That's very amazing.
And what's even more interesting is we get to the top, the bottom end of the top 25. General Electric is now 22nd. They used to be number one once upon a time. But some of the others. Number 24 on this list is Mitsubishi. And you remember what Mitsubishi was famous for? They designed the Japanese Zero in World War II. And they're still designing planes to this day. In fact, they'll probably, in another couple of years, take back the United States' dominance in their Air Force with their own airplanes. But one company that really caught my attention, and I wish Major Baird was here to pronounce it, it's Rheinmetall. It's a company that makes probably the most aerodynamic tank I've ever seen. If you go to slide 8, the Panther KF-51 is a 50-ton tank. It can go 500 kilometers, or about 350 miles, on one tank of gas. Has a 130-millimeter main gun, whereas the old Panther had about a 60-millimeter gun. And it has an additional 12.7-millimeter coaxial machine gun to get rid of infantry. They built in mine protection So if it drives over a mine, no big deal. And it also has the ability to work with drones.
That's right.
And I won't.
That's the newest German tank probably since World War II, isn't it?
Just about.
Amazing technology, I hear.
Yeah. Well, I have put a video of it and how it works in this PowerPoint. So I'm not going to play it now because we don't have any video for the people. But if you download this, the video is in the PowerPoint, and you can go through it and watch it.
With one caveat, a state-of-the-art tank probably advanced in so many ways, as Germans always build great things. But I heard a talk on it the other day, and they said the problem is going up against Russia, who was able to make a pretty good tank and just do it a lot cheaper and a lot quicker. They can't crank out as many of these tanks as they're going to need to stand up against Russia, tank for tank. So I don't know how many they can build for every one that Russia can, but maybe let's say it's 100 to 1 or 10 to 1 even. So Russia does have an advantage, whereas they can crank stuff out.
Well, and the biggest thing is,
and it works.
You have to understand, in Russia, there isn't a profit motive in their defense industry.
Good point.
Whereas in Rheinmetall, there is a profit motive. And they will sell this tank all over the world. And I'm sure there are going to be a lot of countries interested in buying this. I saw some of the video on it, and I was impressed.
Oh, yeah.
It moved really well. But I would like to see how it stands up. It's very aerodynamic.
Yeah. And digital camouflage and everything.
Yes. I was just amazed at what I was seeing here. I wish Major Baird was here to see it. I think even he would be impressed. Because it's more aerodynamic even than the Russian tanks.
Well, Germans,
some of those Russian tanks are pretty impressive, too.
They've always built great things since World War II. You know, they had state-of-the-art Panzer tanks, and of course, we know about their missile technology. Of course, they had the first fighter jets, and
yes, ME-232.
Had they had a little bit more time, they would have probably had dominance. In fact, Tino Struckman, who's got a great channel on YouTube exploring bunkers, he just came back from another trip. He's been especially honing in on the that area over there. They call the they thought there may be the bell. It's called Hinge, I guess.
Oh, down in Pilsen.
And he's been all underground over there, Project Risa. He's uncovered some amazing stuff.
Yes, I watch his. Usually that's something I do on Fridays, is to catch up on all his videos.
One of his films, though, he talked about the fact that Germany, in all likelihood, had the bomb, and they'd even tested a couple of them on a limited basis. We know they had the enriched uranium, so, you know, they're so advanced. I'm just amazed, and that's really one of my favorite cars, although I don't own one. I wouldn't mind having a Mercedes or a BMW. They are just awesome.
Mm-hmm.
Well built. Well,
the interesting thing is Germany, even though they had, because they detonated one bomb in Thuringia. We know about that, and it's been pretty well documented, because there's been witnesses around who've talked about what happened. They detonated another one on the Baltic Sea near Peenemünde, but the big trouble was the bombs were too big to put on their missiles. That's why they were trying to get the V-4 and the V-5 going. But unfortunately, time ran out on them, and thankfully so. And even Martin Bormann knew. In fact, that's one of the next things I want to talk about is, I am sure a lot of people are asking, well, come on, Tom. What about, you've left out a couple of companies that are very famous, at least everybody thought they were. How about the Krupp's Arms Works in the Ruhr Valley? They produced in World War II probably a third of all the arms that the Germans had. What happened to that? Well, they're now called ThyssenKrupp AG. AG meaning Actengesellschaft, or corporate society, translated. Again, I'm wishing Major Baird was here. But, you know, I thought they'd pretty much disappeared until the other day. I was out and around, guess getting groceries, and I saw a pickup truck, and it had the ThyssenKrupp logo right on the side of it. I took a picture of it, and I've reproduced it on the PowerPoint. But
yeah,
it's interesting. I look at these companies, and then the second one, we talked about Pilsen, where they were doing a lot of this research. It was done via the Skoda Works, they called it, back in World War II. And what's happened? Well, what did happen to it? Well, the Russians came in after Patton left. And the Russians turned the whole thing into a steel manufacturer. But what had happened, Hans Kammler had packed up all the secrets and had them taken to Argentina, because that's where we finally found some of them. And I'm sure the guy you have on has seen some of those papers.
Oh, yeah. Well, Harry Cooper has done one more than that. He has actually seen a winged aircraft owned by the Argentine Army. And he also met the descendants of the Horton brothers.
Okay.
In fact, his son and grandson, he met, and they laid out blueprints of some of the stealth aircraft that had been built by the grandfathers. And there was also a plaque there from Lockheed Martin.